Amen. And with those same Bibles, if you would turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Very short verse. For this is the will of God for your sanctification. So what are we talking about here? What are we talking about today? We're talking about a word thrown out in church a lot, which is sanctification, or sanctify, or being sanctified. And it really felt impressed on my heart to talk about this today, because I feel like as a church, one of the most important things we can do is to be sanctified. But do we really know what that means? And today we're going to talk about that a little bit. But here's the thing about this word sanctify. It's actually a two-pronged thing, but it's all-encompassing at the same time. We're going to talk about two words, consecrate and sanctify. Now, consecrate is another Christian word we throw a lot among our church world. To consecrate literally means to make or declare sacred, dedicate formally to a religious or divine purpose, to devote exclusively to a particular purpose, dedicated, devoted as sacred. So, to consecrate means to position ourselves or position something. It's a choice we make. It's our responsibility. So, when the Bible says, and we're going to get into scriptures about those things, consecrate yourselves, the onus is on us. We are to consecrate ourselves. To make it in plain English, we are to position ourselves, take responsibility for this process. See, sanctification, like I said, is a two-thronged process. It's consecration and sanctification together. But they're also two separate things. And we're going to really get into that more. But to understand, get this in our heads right now. When we read in Scripture, consecrate yourselves, the onus is on us to do it. God is telling us, position yourself for something specific. And this thing that is specific is sanctification. So now, if consecration or to consecrate is on us, let's talk about what it means to sanctify. To set apart or declare holy or sacred. To make legitimate or binding by religious sanction. Free from sin. Purify. Cleanse. Sanctification is the act or process of acquiring sanctity. I get sanctity from something. Of being made or becoming holy. So what does that tell us? If consecration is on us to position ourselves to be consecrated, then sanctification is on God because we are being sanctified. And who sanctifies us? Jesus. How does He sanctify us? By the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus died for our sins, He sanctified us from sin. In other words, sanctification is just, we define it a lot in churches to be set apart. But another definition of sanctified is to be pure, to be holy. Now, Bible tells me my righteousness is filthy rags, but I put on the righteousness of Christ. In Christ, I am holy. I'm called to be holy as He is holy. So, how does this all work together? And we'll get deeper into this. Is I consecrate myself to be sanctified by God. I choose, I make a conscious choice to position my mind, my heart, my spirit, my soul, my body for God to sanctify me or purify me or set me apart. Now here, the example I'm giving you here is, this is Memorial Day, right? So, okay, I want to be a soldier. So to consecrate is for me to choose to enlist in the army, position myself to be made into a soldier. To sanctify is the army making me a soldier. That's just an example of how this process works. So I consecrate myself. I say, God, I'm positioning myself right now for you to do what you want to do in my life. For you to do this for me. Now, here's the one caveat that we have to be careful of. There's literally a lost in translation thing that can take place. Depending on what version of the Bible you are reading, some versions will replace the word consecrate with sanctify, and will say, go sanctify yourself. That is correct, but it's not correct. Because what it's literally saying is, this: do your part in this, which is consecration. So you have to look at the Greek or Hebrew original meaning to really define it. Because sanctification is on God. It is God who sanctifies us. It is in Him we are set apart, right? In Him, by what He did for us or He is doing in us, He sets us apart. But I have to let Him set me apart. Okay? So I say that because you might be reading a version of the Bible where some of the scriptures that we're going to go over, the word consecration or consecrate is replaced with sanctify. But understand, the pure reference in the Hebrew or Greek is your part in this. Do your part. So let's look at this. Number one, first point is I consecrate myself. We started touching on this. It's to set myself apart by choice. So I first have to make the choice of not to want to be like everybody else, or not to want to be like I was, or not to want to continue doing the things I used to do or have been doing, not to want to continue thinking the way I used to think, or not to want to have the same attitudes that I used to have, or not to want to be bound by the same things that I have been bound by. I have to make that choice. Modern terminology is, I want to unfriend that way of life. Okay? I want to unfriend. You know, when we do a lot of praying people to be set free, delivered from different demonic oppressions, you know, as somebody doing deliverance or freedom ministries, I have authority to bind that spirit. But I can't cast it out if you want to stay friends with it. So one of the things we, through the process of deliverance or setting people free, is ask them, do you want to be free of this thing? Do you want to break its hold on you? Or do you like it? Because if you want to break it, then you have to unfriend it. Then we can cast it out. Then we can get rid of it for good. But we can't do that if you're still tied to it. If you still, you know, Ashley You know, we praise God that she made a choice to unfriend her addiction. That spirit of addiction. And she's been set free by Jesus Christ. And not just set free, she's able to walk in his freedom. It's one thing to stop, but to continue to walk with the freedom that Christ gives us is that has to do with relationship and the sanctification process. So today, if we're here today and we want something to change, we have to say yes to wanting it to change. We have to come into agreement and recognize that this is something in my life that is hindering my intimacy with God, my growth in who I meant to be. I have to be willing and want to break this. It's my responsibility to go against the norm. If I'm still struggling with alcohol or any addiction, smoking, if I'm struggling with pornography, and TV shows even, you know what I mean? Or food, I have to want to break that first. I can't break it on my own, but I have to choose to want to break it. And then I let God strengthen me, and he does the breaking through me and in me. Let's look at some scripture. And the thing is, consecration is a daily task or challenge or choice. That's the thing. Because I have to choose to walk in the path I am walking. Our God is a gentleman. Yes, he's a mighty God. But he doesn't force himself on us. So I have to choose to walk with him, to stay. I have to daily, when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, well, before I put the cross on my back, I have to choose to say, yes, I will take up that cross daily. Because I'm not going near it if I don't want it. Right? I'll walk away from it. But consecration is a daily choice not to fall back to the way things were, not to continue doing what I used to do. It's every day I wake up and I have to choose to say, God, your mercies are new every morning. I thank you for this day. I rejoice in it. This is the day you've made, and I will be glad in it. I choose, I will not have a drink today. I will not make this choice today. I will not curse out my spouse today. I will not abandon my friend today. I will commit to spending time with you today. Consecration is that daily challenge. Remember, this is what's on us. This is when we talk about, and the scripture talks about giving a sacrifice of praise. Laying yourself down at the altar or at the feet of Jesus. This is where consecration comes in. I choose to walk down that aisle. I choose to get on my knees. I make that choice to go before him and say, come on, Jesus, wash me clean. Keep me clean. I'm not, you know, sitting in tar pits anymore, but I do have a little bit of dust on me from yesterday, so I'm choosing to let you wash that off of me today. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Joshua 3:5, and Joshua said to the people, you consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God wants to do something, but he can't if you don't consecrate yourselves. God wants to work in your life. He wants your marriage to be happy. He wants your relationship to be fruitful, but consecrate yourself. I did something yesterday that I need to do a lot more of. Yesterday, you know, my wife and I were invited to join Harvest Time Church for a community outreach barbecue they had. And one of the things we prayed is, God, give us divine appointments. Let us meet somebody we're supposed to speak into. And a few things happen here or there. But really focused on, okay, God, even though I don't know these people, I don't even know half the members that well, if at all. But who from the community is here because of the barbecue that I can pray over. That's going to draw them to harvest time because we're kingdom-minded, right? We're kingdom-minded. It's about the kingdom of God. And I tried to stay in that mode. I had to make that choice. Not to say, it's a barbecue. I'm just going to chill out. That's a choice. God led me to an older woman. Healed her arthritis completely in her leg. Okay? From the neighborhood. As I was leaving, Holy Spirit said, just go touch base with her. Touch base with her. I said, you still good? Yes. Fully healed. She's joy, smile. Oh, thank you so much. I have a friend who lives with me. She hurt her shoulder in an accident last week. She can't raise it. I want to bring her so you can pray for her again and heal her. I said to her, you know what? Pastor Sam here can pray for her just like I prayed. I minister at another church, but why don't you bring her in and let Pastor Sam minister to her? He can pray for her. He'll heal her in Jesus' name. Bring her. So if they stay true to that, possibly two or more new people coming to their church. But you know what? It all began with a choice my wife and I had to make, that we're not going to go there just to hang out and do nothing, but to consecrate that time for God. Yes, we'll be blessed, but we want to be a blessing. I mean, that's a simple little thing, but this is what God is asking us to do. Joshua telling, God wants to do something wonderful with the people, but you got to go consecrate yourself first. Position yourself for God to work in you and through you. Exodus 19:10, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. Before I break out among them, before I set them free, before I release them, before I do what I want to do in their lives, get these people together, consecrate them. And being that they may not know what consecration means, let them wash their clothes as symbolic of that. That's what they're doing because that's what I'm about to do. Get them ready. See, when God asks us to consecrate ourselves, He's telling us, get ready for what I'm about to do. When I say, Lord, every day I'm making a choice because I want to consecrate myself, God is saying, good, you're in a state of readiness for me to work through you. You are keeping yourself in a position where I can break through and speak to your sons and daughters, speak to your wives and husbands, speak to your relatives, speak into your workplace. You're positioning yourself. You're keeping yourself where I can work through you. You're leaving an open door for me. That's what you're doing. You're leaving an open door for me to break through, which is my heart, because I want my kingdom to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and you're letting me do that as you consecrate yourself. Exodus 13:2, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Dedicate the firstborn to me. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, and it's mine. Let me dedicate them to me, consecrate them to me so I can bless them. So I can already, even at the young age, work in their lives. That's why we dedicate children. Some churches, that's why they dedicate animals. This weekend, a sister church, Glad Tidings Assembly of God, prayed blessings on bikes, bikers. Had a biker blessing thing going on. That's why you do those things. Because when you do that, you position yourself and those situations for God to break into and do mighty, mighty, mighty things. Ezekiel 43:26. 7 days they will make atonement from the altar and purify it and so consecrate it. So he's telling for 7 days, make atonement for your sins. In other words, confess your sins. So get there. Part of the consecration process is recognizing that I'm not where I need to be with God, that there are things in my life that I need to lay down before God. I need to ask God to forgive or repent, which basically means I'm changing my mind about. So there are things about me, Lord, I need to lay down. Lord, I've cussed my neighbor out this morning, so Father, I want to just make atonement for that. I repent of that. Lord, I was very nasty with my husband today or my wife today. I said hurtful things to them today. I was not the husband or wife that I'm supposed to be, the encourager, the support, the helpmate you created me. So, Lord, I make atonement for that. I repent. I position myself. I confess to you as my husband's father and my wife's father first, before I ever was their husband or wife. I repent. I confess. I change my mind in the way how I've been treating your son or your daughter. Lord, I make atonement for the choices I've been making. Not staying true to your word, to your heart. Not moving when you say move, and not staying when you say stay. For not speaking when you say speak, and for keeping my mouth open when you say shut. I make atonement. I repent for those things. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's consecration. Go consecrate. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, I beg of you, Paul is writing, my brothers and sisters in the faith, in the mercy of God, go consecrate yourself. Make yourself holy and acceptable, God. Position yourself to be purified or sanctified by God, which is your, listen to this, reasonable service. In other words, this is the least you could do. You want God breaking through, at the very least, get yourself positioned for God to do something. At the very least. At the very least, if you don't know what else to say, say, Lord, I'm sorry. If you have no clue what to do, say, Lord, I'm yours. My sins are too many, but you know them all. Lord, I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want those words coming out of my mouth anymore. I don't want words that's going to hurt people. I want words that are going to build people. I don't want the attitude that I've had, the anger in my heart, the bitterness in my spirit. I don't want that breaking through. I want to show your joy. Forgive me for misrepresenting you that way, and forgive me for allowing those things to consume me instead of letting your spirit and presence consume me and fill me with your love and your joy and your hope and your peace. Forgive me, because this is not what you want from me, Lord. God doesn't want us to walk around being crotchety old men and women, yelling and being sniping at one another. He doesn't want us to walk around with attitudes. He doesn't want us to walk around with self-loathing. How about forgive me, Lord, for seeing myself like a piece of garbage when you see me as a precious jewel, when I'm called the apple of your eye. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking so little of myself when you look at me and see a mighty warrior ready to conquer kingdoms if I only consecrate myself and let you sanctify me. If I only let you do those things. So Paul's saying, I beg of you guys, church, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, people I love, the very least you can do, go lay yourself at the feet of Jesus and just present yourself as a living sacrifice and let God do the rest. Which leads us to point number two. I am being sanctified. I consecrate myself, and then I am sanctified or being sanctified, which is I am becoming something different because I am receiving something I did not have before. I am changing because I have been changed by the blood of the Lamb the grace of our God, the Spirit of God coming alive in me. I don't look the same. I don't talk the same. I don't act the same. I don't smell the same. I'm using holy deodorant now. You know? I'm not the same. Because I am being sanctified. And this is the thing about also sanctification. It's not just consecration and sanctification are one in the sanctification process, but within the sanctification part, you are sanctified at the moment of surrender to Jesus, of accepting Him as your Savior, of confessing your sins and repenting, but then there is the process, the continual process of sanctification as I continually get washed in His blood daily. You know, it's like living in the wilderness for six months, not shaving, not bathing, and looking like, you know, Sasquatch and smelling like him too. And I go to a beauty parlor for the first time. I am clean, shaved, washed, made clean, but then every day I still have to shave to keep my beard trimmed. I still have to bathe daily because the stench will start coming back. So that's the process that continues. So I'm sanctified at the moment of repentance by the blood of Jesus, but His blood doesn't wash me once and forget about me. I'm continually bathed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm continually filled. Just like when I asked the Holy Spirit to come and baptize me in your presence, baptize me in the Spirit, I am baptized in the Spirit, but then I continually go to be filled and continue that infilling of His Spirit. And that's part of positioning myself to receive what He's pouring out. So it is God's role. This is the beauty about sanctification. It's God's role. It's His job to sanctify me. I don't have to worry about making myself perfect. He makes me perfect. I don't have to worry about being good. He is good. And Him and me makes me good. Okay? I don't have to be right all the time. I just have to be right in Him. He does the rest. It's an ongoing process. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in me. So just to go through some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6, 8 through 11. Now you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of us were these people. We're thinking these thoughts, harboring these things, acting upon these things, and so forth. And such were some of you, but you were washed, and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, when I am sanctified, that means I'm justified. I can't be justified by God if I'm not sanctified. Basically, the word justified means not guilty. That's all it means. It means you're not guilty in God's eyes. Everything you've done before, because you've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, you're not guilty. You're not guilty of your past. Your past is not being held against you in God's eyes in any way, shape, or form. That's what justified means. Don't let that word scare you. It just means you're new in Christ. The old is gone. You're innocent. You have been set free. So walk in that freedom. That's it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. He chose you for salvation through sanctification. So your salvation came because you positioned yourself and consecrated yourself to receive and repent and receive the salvation of Jesus, that he died for your sins. You recognized you were not doing things right in God's eyes, and you repented for it and received the mercy and forgiveness and grace of God in Christ. So now, you, because of that, he washed you and you're sanctified in the Spirit and in truth. You know the Word, and you know, and you walk in the Spirit. That's his truth. And the beautiful thing is, guys, nobody can take that away from you. People who don't believe will doubt and deny. But if you know, you know. His word says, in spirit and truth. So, listen, people who don't believe in Jesus don't know. And they're going to say, I don't believe in heaven. Well, that's fine, you don't believe it. But I know where I'm going. I know what the word of God says because I believe in it. I also know the revelation of it in his spirit, the revelation I receive from God in the spirit. So I know the truth in truth and in spirit. So I know. Therefore, I'm grounded where I am. I know I'm not perfect, but I know I'm being sanctified. Why? Because I'm making a choice daily to the best of my abilities as a human being to consecrate myself, to repent. You know, every time Tiff and I get into an argument, I've been training myself, even when I'm mad at her, to go, okay, Lord, stop. Because, you know, when you start fighting with somebody, your thoughts become very intrusive, right? That's how we open the door to the enemy to come in. I have to stop myself and go, Lord, I repent for letting those thoughts come in. I rebuke the enemy who put those thoughts in my mind in Jesus' name. I close that door, and Lord, I only want thoughts that you have for my wife. In those moments, immediate consecration, so that when I respond to her, I can respond to her in the love of Christ, with the heart of Christ. That's the way it's supposed to be. We are human, guys, so we're going to get those attacks. It's up to us to recognize immediately where we're at and how we're not in a position of consecration and get ourselves back consecrated so God can sanctify my thoughts so my words can be edifying. That's how this works. That's how what we need to do. Are we always going to be perfect at it? No, but you know what? We always go to it. God will honor you when you honor him in going to it. Even if it means sometimes having to step away, clear your head, get on your knees, go in your quiet place with God, calm your emotions and go, be still and know God, that I am God. And keep telling yourself that. Know that he is God. To position yourself, to consecrate yourself so that God can do something through you. Hebrews 10:10, but we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That's just reiterating. We're sanctified by what Jesus did once and for all. Remember, we are sanctified, and then the process of sanctification continues the rest of the days of our lives. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So don't be conformed, but be transformed. For me not to be conformed, I have to consecrate, make that willful choice to get myself out of that environment of conforming, right? That I'm not going to look like that, and then position myself to be sanctified and let God transform my thoughts, everything about me because of what Jesus did. Because that's the good, that's what is good, that is what is acceptable, that is the perfect will of God. Because that's what God wants for us, right? That's what this is saying. Get yourself out of that environment, get yourself positioned to be healed by God, let him heal you and let him strengthen you and send you in his ways. You're not going to quit being a drunk if you're living in a bar. You're not going to quit eating, overeating, indulging on chocolate if you keep buying M&Ms and sticking them in the freezer and going, I'll fight that temptation. Get away from it. Don't be conformed. Get away from it. Make that choice so then God will have room to operate. Because when we eliminate that, we create the space for God to do what he wants to do. And the last verse we'll go over, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. That's the sanctification process. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's Christ daily sanctifying me as I stay in that position that he has for me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, even though I walk on this earth like a human being, like the rest of us, I live by faith in the Son of God. I don't live the way I used to live. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he did this because he loves me and he gave himself for me so I can live like him, so I can be like him. I can walk like him. The only reason Jesus was able to go to that cross when he was in that Garden of Gethsemane, he had the strength to do it, is because he knew who he was. Because remember, Jesus was fully man as well as fully God. But as fully man, he knew what his foundation was. He knew the spirit and the truth that he stood on. And he had the strength to do it, knowing he will be fully, not just sanctified, but glorified by the Father. Because he positioned himself not to look like everybody else. Not to take shortcuts. He went against the norm. He consecrated himself, positioned himself for God the Father to do what he wanted to do through him. That one act, that one positioning, where at any moment they're mocking him, call down angels and let them set you free. That one choice not to do that and stay in that position for God to do what he wants to do brings us to the position we are here today. That we can be sanctified and are being sanctified because of his love. Because I have faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the only reason. Because he loved me and he gave himself for me right here, right now, today. But it all begins with a choice I have to make. See, consecration is the beginning, but it's not, and part of consecration isn't just, Lord, forgive me, but it's also, Lord, consecrate my home. I'm making my a choice that my home is going to be a place where you dwell. Consecrate my finances. Lord, my finances are going to be dedicated to you first. Consecrate my relationships. Who I spend time with, I'm going to dedicate to you first. Consecrate my time. That, Lord, my time is meant to be for you first. You'll find time for me to rest and play within it, but it's dedicated to you first. And then within that, sanctify it, Lord. Let my time be useful for your kingdom. Let my relationships be beneficial for your kingdom. Let my monies that you bless me with be useful for your kingdom, as you also are Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and take care of me. Let my home, everything I own, as it's consecrated, let it be useful for your kingdom first. And then I know you also use it to bless me. It's yours first, Lord. It's yours first, Lord. That's the key to consecration. I lay it before you first. And then I let you do the rest, Lord. Would you stand with me right now? Father, thank you first and foremost for your Son, for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins, to allow us to even have the opportunity to choose to consecrate ourselves so that you will sanctify us, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come right now. Just reveal areas in every single one of our lives that maybe we need to right now make a choice to say, I'm going to give you this area. I'm going to consecrate this area first, right here, right now, to you, Lord. I'm going to give it to you so that you will take it and you will sanctify it. Holy Spirit's saying, there's no shame in this, guys. Don't feel shame. Shame is not from God. That's from the enemy trying to keep you and make you feel less than, because you're admitting to God that there's an area in your life that has not been dedicated to Him before. And there's no shame in it. There should be, rejoice. Rejoice, because God is about to take what you are dedicating to Him and make it beautiful. In the name of Jesus, we wash away thoughts of shame, emotions of shame, the heart of shame. And we rejoice, Lord, because you took our sin and shame when you died on that cross. Thank you, Jesus. And we release hope and joy in the name of Jesus right now. We just release it in this place. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be more than we ever imagined we can be because of you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Rejoice, guys. Rejoice. There is no shame here. There's nothing but joy. Nothing but joy in what He's doing. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Luke, can you just do the chorus of I Surrender All? Just want to give you a few moments, guys. We're almost done. Before we close today, just to lay it, give it to God and just let Him minister to you right now. Just have some time with Him. Just let Him minister to you right now.